The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
And we'd like to welcome you to another edition of Spotlight on Long Island Schools on 103.9 LI News Radio, out on the web at linewsradio.com. I'm your host, Bob Vecchio. Thanks for tuning in each and every week to hear how our schools are adjusting to, well, what the new normal is. Hybrid environment, virtual environment, in person, and it's ever changing. And, you know, as we get further into the school year, we are learning more and more about what works, what needed some changes and improvements, and what the opportunities are going to be for our students going forward. And we'd like to welcome to the first time on Spotlight on Long Island Schools, the Elmont School District. Elmont, well, their school district borders Nassau and Queens, and it's a K-6 school district with approximately 4,000 students. So it's a pretty large system with a lot of diversity. And I'm anxious to hear about how school has been going up in Elmont since the reopening in September. We're going to start off our conversation with the superintendent of schools for the Elmont School District, Mr. Kenneth Rosner. Ken, welcome to Spotlight on Long Island Schools. And I've been doing this with all my guests since the pandemic. I hope everything is going well. Hope your family is doing well. And you've been blessed with good health.
Thank you. Yes, absolutely. You too. Thank you.
Very good. So, Ken, give us a little background about Elmont first before we start talking about operationally, and we'll step back to how you first opened in September. Let the listening audience know a little bit about Elmont. And I was reading the overview description. You guys have a lot of diversity, obviously a densely packed community, as one would expect bordering the Nassau-Queens area. So give us a little background about Elmont and where the kids, after they're done on sixth grade, where do you guys feed other districts?
Sure. So we have a very unique situation. We are a K-6 district. We have six elementary schools. One school has about 350 students, and then we have others that have 700, 800 students. Our students feed into Elmont Memorial High School and Sewanica High School for the most part. So that's the Sewanica Central High School District. It's a beautiful community. Very diverse. We have over 350 ENL students in our community. We have everything that ranges from resource rooms, speech, and we have a beautiful ABA program for autistic students. We have over 30 students in that program. We teach them in the community schools, and a very dedicated staff, wonderful families that work with us. So we're very proud of the work that we're doing.
So, you know, March 15th, the governor shut everything down statewide, and education had to pivot on a dime. Suddenly, in-person instruction and the traditional classroom and school day, as we all knew it for, you know, 100 or so years, suddenly was turned on its head. How did you guys adjust after the shutdown last spring?
I'm going to jump in, Bob.
And this is David Spinato. You are the director of curriculum and technology. So you had a lot of pressure because technology is your thing. And all of a sudden we go from live instruction to virtual, and it's all of a sudden, Dave, what are we going to do?
I got to tell you, Bob, one of the great things about this district, and Ken and Wellington would tell you the same thing. Everything's a team effort, from everything that's done at the administrative level as well as down to the teacher level. So a lot of minds working to put this together. But luckily, when the pandemic initially hit, we have previously been a district where grades 3 through 6 were 1-to-1 iPads. Those iPads were housed in the classroom in iPad carts. Each student had their own iPad that they got to use in class every day. So once the pandemic hit and we realized that this was going to be longer than a 2-week period of time, which is what it looked like at the beginning, we were able to issue those iPads out to our students to use for grades 3 through 6. And then working with our technology department and central administrative teams and working closely with the building administrators, we were able to work our budget to be able to purchase iPads to where now we are pre-K through 6 1-to-1 iPads, and all those iPads are in the hands of all of our students. So from a device standpoint and an equity standpoint, it was a lot easier for us to be able to manage that on that scale, with every student having their own device at home.
Yeah, because that's huge, because the conversation now that's happening at the state level, we hear about the equity divide, where the haves and the have-nots, who was able to have access to technology. And if you didn't have enough technology in your schools, you know, trying to get a Chromebook or an iPad or any type of device was like trying to find a can of Lysol out for the general public. Dr. Garcia, for you, your instructional staff traditionally knows how to deliver their education in person, in front of the classroom, classroom management, how to engage students live 1-to-1. It was a huge pivot. How were you able to refocus and reshift your staff to suddenly go from every day in person to 100% shutdown? And then we'll talk about how that's progressed. What are some of the lessons learned that you kept in the back of your head for September?
Well, one of the things that we were really looking at is, I guess, professional development. That was key for us to ensure that they are able to, like you said, make those connections with the students, have those engaged lessons. So PD was essential. We brought in a lot of our trainers that from the programs that we're currently using who were helpful in implementing that. We had Apple trainers come in as well to just give us more background knowledge on how to, you know, access the specific apps that we were using. Seesaw is a platform that we use regularly prior to the pandemic, which actually allowed a lot of our teachers to be, ahead of the curve when it came down to the shutdown moment. So that's how we are able to communicate with the students, specifically giving them assignments through that platform while at the same time using Zoom to do the instruction going live. So we've had that option, and we've, you know, again, like Mr. Spinato said, our district was fortunate enough to actually have all these things in place prior to this pandemic hitting. And I think that's what made us very successful in creating a virtual academy school. So we actually have our, like Mr. Raza calls it, our seventh building, so to speak. It's a virtual academy that consists strictly of just teachers teaching students remotely, which has been very successful. And they've been able to connect with the buildings, so they're not losing touch. You know, they're still able to maintain friends. They're still able to communicate with the staff there. And we make that a priority, and we ensure that every program that we have available in person is available for those who are learning virtually.
Great. So, Ken, you know, when you opened up in September, there was a lot of unknowns, right? Education didn't know what was going to happen. The fear of schools being super spreaders, the fear with the staff. So the governor says, okay, you have to offer a full virtual option to the parents that want to elect that. So what is the spread in Elmont School District as far as in-person kids coming versus full virtual into your virtual academy? What percentage would you say it is in Elmont?
So it's, Bob, it's a pretty even split. We have about 1,700 to 1,800 students learning virtually, over 85 teachers, regular classroom teachers, special education, speech and language. We have our specials, phys ed, music, art. We have a very strong SEL team that focuses on that social emotional piece, making sure we put our eyes on our students and making sure everyone is okay, including our teachers, as this is a struggle for everybody. And I think one of the things that we're very proud of last year in the middle of this thing, when it first started, we put a survey out to the parents and we asked them for feedback, everything from scheduling to our platforms that we're using and what we can do to make things better if we were to be in this situation again in September. And we took all of that, we put it together in a reentry plan. And I think that when a community gets feedback from its stakeholders, from its parents, and you're not afraid to hear that criticism, that's when you move things forward. And that's what we did. And it was a team effort. And we promised everybody, as we did our community Zooms over the summer and into the fall, that we would make this better than it was in the spring for the parents, for the children. That's what we do. Never perfect, but always improving. And we're proud of that in Elmont, and we continue to make those improvements as we move along into the winter and into the spring.
And what would you say from that the survey results that you had, Ken, was the biggest suggested improvement come September that the parents were most concerned with or wanted to see big strides in?
You know what, Bob, this was really tricky, and we joke about it often because it's so unpredictable, but some parents were saying, you know, can you guys take your foot off the pedal a little bit? This is a little too much. I'm at home with my kids. I'm at home at work. And this is way too much. Yeah. And then there's other parents that said, no, we need more. We want more. So we had to try to find that happy balance between the two, which was very, very tricky to do. And it's like in any other classroom where the rigor in one room is a little bit different than in another classroom. And we treated it the same way. We let our teachers know that this is your quote unquote classroom and you run it like you normally would. And you get a feel and you communicate with the parents and you find out where they are, find out what they need. And then you break off into those small groups. And if you need to give more, you give more. If you need to slow it down, then you're able to do that. So again, we improved upon what was happening in March, you know, April and May, and we made it better for the fall.
Well, we're speaking with the folks from the Elmont School District about how they went to their virtual academy while continuing to deliver in-person services. And we're continuing our conversation with school district officials across Long Island to find out how we're continuing to adjust, how we're continuing to adapt to the new world in the way we deliver education. You're listening to Spotlight on Long Island Schools on 103.9 LI News Radio, streaming live on the web at linewsradio.com. Want to remind you folks, check out our Facebook page, Spotlight on Long Island Schools. That's your place to suggest a program, club, or activity that your district is involved in. And who knows, maybe your school district will be the next one in our spotlight. When we come back from our break, we're going to find out how they make online instruction fun to keep the students engaged, how they measure the engagement, and how they keep alignment with the kids that are coming into the regular classrooms. And on top of all that, how they balance it from a technology and a budget standpoint. And we're going to pick the brain of the superintendent of schools about his budget concerns coming up with the upcoming challenges that are going to be coming down from Albany. Just another thing that we've had to adjust to during the pandemic on top of everything else, but Elmont will get through it just like all the other school districts across New York State. We'll be right back on LI News Radio right after this. And we'd like to welcome you back to Spotlight on Long Island Schools on 103.9 LI News Radio, out on the web at linewsradio.com. Once again, Bob Vecchio thanking you for tuning in each and every week to hear how our school districts have been adjusting to the new normal, as we like to say. And we're speaking with the folks from the Elmont School District. It's a K through 6 school district that borders Nassau and Suffolk counties. And we're talking with their administrative team on how they adjusted after the full shutdown, but more importantly, some of the things that they've done since reopening. And Virtual Academy is one of the things that have changed over at Elmont. And they actually make online virtual instruction come alive and they keep their kids engaged. So Dr. Garcia, I'm going to go right to you. Let's talk about how you make that online experience really live, engaging, you know, because some of the fears are, how do you keep young primary kids engaged for an extended period of time while making learning fun? I mean, there's certain things that you do inside a classroom. How does that translate virtually? So what were some of the things that you guys did with your teachers?
Well, some of the things we did, like I mentioned earlier, was a lot of professional development. We front loaded a lot of that through Apple. We have brought on the trainers also with RAS Kids, which is the assessment that we're currently using for running records. So we've provided that. We've also, within the Virtual Academy, understand the struggle of just teaching virtually. So we wanted to make sure that we gave them enough professional, not only development, but also days so that they can actually get the time to plan. Planning was essential across the grades. We pretty much have created a curriculum coffee chat, so to speak, that we do every other week for our teachers to kind of just check in the pulse, understand where they are, gauge, you know, curriculum wise, and provide just motivation to understand that, you know, you're not at this doing this job alone. And I think that's been very successful. It's been motivating the teachers, who then, of course, motivate our students, and we praise them. And we applaud them. I tell them every day that literally it's like building a plane while trying to fly it at the same time.
Absolutely. Building a plane mid-flight can be a little difficult. And Mr. Spinato, you know, I know some teachers have also, once they got full deep into the virtual environment, they probably had requests of the technology end, either apps or technology or software that you probably didn't experience before, because they're seeing all these things from colleagues across the country. Oh, now this is possible. So what were some of the asks or some of the demands? Sure. Hey, I now need this to make this engaging and exciting.
Well, I'll tell you from one standpoint, the fact that some of this infrastructure was in place prior to the pandemic in grades 3 through 6, we were lucky. We had a lot of internal turnkeyers that were already working, already ahead of the technology front, so that when we went virtual, we had a lot of people in-house that were very comfortable in this environment. Some of the things that we didn't necessarily anticipate was just the, you know, our app library went from maybe 100 apps to maybe close to 500 to 600 apps now in our app library for teachers to choose from. But it was the variety of things that they were asking for that we weren't necessarily expecting. Our core apps, our Seesaws, our major platform, Zoom for live instruction were there, but now teachers are starting to kind of explore outside that realm. And in a K through 6 district, one of the things that you struggle with is not only the PD for the teachers, but now having to turnkey that for, let's say, a primary student, a kindergarten student, a first grade student, that's difficult. They don't necessarily have the ability to read directions on their own to be able to go through an app that maybe a middle school or a high school student would be able to do. So that's kind of taken off on us a lot. And just from a subscription standpoint, the impact that that's had on our digital budget in terms of what we're subscribing to, and not just, you know, in the past it was, you know, Raz Kids, as Dr. Garcia was saying, and Seesaw and some of those core apps that our teachers use, to now we're looking at, you know, hundreds of apps that a lot of different teachers are using, and we don't want to handcuff them and say not to use that and drive them in a different direction. We want them to explore the creativity and be able to kind of use what's comfortable to them to engage and enrich their own students.
Great. And Dr. Garcia, that just made me think too, how do you ensure alignment that's going on in the in-person classrooms with the virtual to make sure that they're on par with each other?
So we actually took our curriculum apps and we condensed them to ensure that not only are we filling in the gaps from, you know, May to June, but ensuring that they're keeping on to what we're supposed to be doing September, October, November, like that. So one of the things that we ensure is have those curriculum meetings. Like I said, we ensure that they have time to actually meet together, the in-person and the actual virtual academy teachers, just so that there's that alignment, and that's essential. But at the same time, we all know that this is something all new to all of us. So we're very accommodating and understanding of like, okay, you know, if you're struggling, it's okay to, you know, lean on someone else to help you with this, or, you know, we're very collegial, and at least in our district, that's one of the things that we pride ourselves on.
Great. And Superintendent Rosner, you know, a couple of things that come to mind that probably come across your plate and things that, as you're looking ahead, number one, your stakeholders, your clients, keeping that engagement with your community to make sure and kind of, you know, testing the waters. Okay, how's it going? How are we doing meeting those changes that you were looking for from last year with the virtual world, but also with the eye towards the budget, right? We're going to be facing some really huge budget challenges, maybe not this year, but certainly the year after, based on what happens with the economy out of New York State. So talk to me about how you keep that engagement level with your community and the parent stakeholders to make sure that you're meeting the needs, while at the same time an eye on the needs of the budget issues that you may have in the future to continue to meet those needs.
Sure. So last year, I was in Dr. Garcia's position. I was the director of curriculum. I just became superintendent. So, but I had been in the district for 15 years. So I know the stakeholders and I know what's important to the community. And one of the things that we started in July when I first took over was we were having 2, 3, 4 Zoom meetings with the community a month just to, and Mr. Spinato will tell you, he'd write all the questions down for me. He'd pass them off to me. I'd read the question. I'd give the answer. We did hundreds of those questions a night. And we kept doing them. And even to this day, we still do those community Zooms. You have to be transparent and you have to be willing to listen to people in order to make this right. Otherwise, you're operating in a box and we just don't do that. So I think that open communication with the community, giving people a chance to voice their concerns. And we have these shout outs where people put in the chat. They compliment our teachers and our staff. It's really a nice thing. Mm-hmm. Looking ahead, I mean, as far as Elmont goes, we're extremely fiscally responsible to the community every year. And that has really helped us. But there's such uncertainty with these budgets as we move forward, especially school districts that truly rely on that state aid to fund their programs. And that's an uncertainty that, again, you have to be transparent with your community to let them know what we're headed into and still at that time remaining fiscally responsible as you present the budget to the community. So I think the more that people know and the more open you are, the better off we are as we head into this budget season. And like you said, Bob, in years to come, we are facing some real uncertainty across Long Island.
Yeah, and that's where advocacy is going to be so important. And I know you mentioned this off the air before we started, and you heard me speak at another event. You know, advocacy, you got to get the community behind you and know what the Elmont story is, because Elmont has to have a seat at the table so it's not an item on the menu, right? I'm always a big believer in that. You have to have a seat at the table, because if not, you're going to be an item on the menu. And when it comes to budget cuts up in Albany, those items can be quite expensive for a community and, of course, a child's education. Getting back to the social-emotional learning aspects, and I'll just open it up to whoever wants to jump into this. How are some of the things that you have in place to make sure that you're meeting the social emotional needs of our students? Because that is the biggest concern that I hear constantly across the spectrum, no matter what type of model of education you have. How are we making sure that we're meeting those needs?
I'm going to jump in there for you, Bob. I'm going to go back to what Mr. Rosner was saying. Last year when this pandemic hit, there was a concerted effort from the curriculum department, which was run by Mr. Rosner at the time, to really pull in that SEL team, the social workers, the school psychologists, the school counselor. And we met with them regularly to come together with curriculum that they were doing, outreach, communicating with home, to really build in a system that would work to be able to keep that information flowing from what's happening in the homes of students and our buildings. And then we would be able to make informed decisions as to how to help students. That led us into our discussions into the summer when we were realizing that we were going to have a virtual academy, and a virtual academy that was a substantial one, you know, housing almost 50% of our students. Mr. Rosner, as superintendent, made the decision to specifically hire a virtual academy school psychologist, and our school counselor splits the time with our virtual academy as well as the in-person buildings. So we have a dedicated SEL team that drives the SEL functions in that virtual academy, as well as our teams in the building. And again, communication, as you can tell that we've talked about before, is the key for that group, for us with communication.
It's so critically important, and I want to applaud you guys for everything that you're doing up in Elmont, and it seems like a great success, a great model. Superintendent Rosner, hats off to you and your entire team. Dr. Garcia, Mr. Spinato, thank you very much. And listen, we hope to have Elmont back, and we're interviewing some students and talking about other innovative programs that you guys are doing in person. We've been chatting it up with the folks from the Elmont School District and how they make virtual learning engaging, fun, and meaningful for their students. A school district up in Nassau, between Nassau and Queens, with about 4,000 kids, K-6. You've been listening to Spotlight on Long Island Schools on 103.9 LI News Radio. Out on the web at linewsradio.com. Check out the Facebook page, Spotlight on Long Island Schools. Your place to suggest a program, club, or activity that your kids are involved in. And your school may be the next one right here in our Spotlight. Until then, stay well, stay healthy, and we'll chat with you next week.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.